All right, 1:30.
An auctioneer could be heard this past weekend at the Ocean City Convention Center. The items being sold were carved wildfowl art. It was part of the 44th annual Ward World Championship Wildfowl Carving Competition and Art Festival. And if there is any art that has been so identified with the Eastern Shore, it is the traditional carving of the wooden decoy. Spread out across a large room were hundreds of wildfowl carvings set up on long tables covered with white tablecloths. These were the objects of art that were being judged, and they ranged from small birds and traditional working decoys to several giant eagles. There were over 1,300 submitted this year, 100 more than last. Some were by those who have mastered their crafts over the decades, while others had just begun within the last few years. Sandy Syka has only been carving since 2003. She manages her household back in Troy, Ohio, and she now stands next to her pair of carved warblers.
And you have a female sitting in a bunch of the, in the midst of the flowers, looking up adoringly at the male who's singing away for in springtime.
Syka says, for her, it's truly a pastime. But as she gazes upon her work, she adds, it is the feel of wood that engages her. She brings these tiny beings into life.
I've always loved the feel of wood. Even though with decoratives, which is what I do, you paint over all the nice wood. But I don't this year. Usually when I do a carving, I have a natural wood base because I love the grain of the wood. I love the feel of the wood. That's an unusual thing for me not to have this year.
And there are the carvers like 91-year-old Douglas Gibson, who lives in Milford, Delaware, but was born in Maryland. He sits surrounded by rows of decorative birds.
I like the decorative bird more because it's going to extend the life of the bird as he really looks. I do some working decoys, but very little. I like to play with the wood to make it look as natural as possible. If you notice, I have more detail than I do painting.
And for Gibson, it was a natural tradition.
Duck carving is important to the Eastern Shore because we have the Choptank River, the Miles River, the Tread Avon River, and all the other tributaries around there. And I've lived around water all my life, and I know just about all the waterfowl in the Eastern Flyway and the other flyways. And so all my life, I've seen them coming there in great numbers and would influence anyone who had any interest in ducks.
If you ask people in this region, it is about a tradition, an Eastern Shore tradition. Working decoys have been around for hundreds of years, and hunters took advantage of the numerous wildfowl that flourished in the Chesapeake Bay region. And a useful tool became an art form for the famous Ward brothers, whose name now graces the competition and the Wildfowl Art Museum that now keeps the tradition alive on the shore. Laura Bottinelli is the museum's executive director.
44 years ago, it was started as a way for artists to get together and build community. And from that, not only has the event endured for 44 years and become an international celebration that is carrying forward, a museum was born out of this event.
So what makes a good carving? Tom Horn is one of the judges who has also submitted a piece for competition. He says there are a number of elements, but the first and foremost is...
You want the anatomy accurate, but then you want to try to do something artistic, creative, and different.
Is it difficult to do something that's different?
Well, yeah, because look around. There's a lot of faces that are you know, very innovative.
The key element for any good carver, said many, is passion. Floyd Scholes hails from Vermont and was honored for a Living Legend Award at the gathering.
You have to really want to do it and have a passion and love birds. I mean, birds are the star of the show. And as artists, with over 9,500 species found worldwide, we have a deep well from which to draw for inspiration, from little hummingbirds all the way up to giant condors and eagles and ostriches. As an artist, we've got a wonderful palette to choose from.
Scholes got his first set of carving tools from his uncle at the age of 10 and was hooked, beginning a carving career that spans 46 years. The art of carving wood, he says, is a subtractive one.
Carving, every cut is critical, so the adage many have heard about the artist being able to actually see into the block of wood what their objective would be is very true. I often joke that if I start an eagle and I make a mistake, I turn it into a hawk, and if I make another mistake, it becomes ultimately into a hummingbird. That's not really true, but it gives a good analogy of what the sculpting process is.
Carving is only one piece of the process. The other is painting the bird, something that participants at the competition said was perhaps the most difficult. But Scholl says it is probably the most important component.
I've seen beautifully carved birds that were totally destroyed by a lousy paint job. On the other hand, I've seen birds that weren't carved all that well but were painted beautifully. So I would have to say from a percentage standpoint, the painting probably accounts for at least 70 to 80% of the success or failure of a beautiful contemporary decorative bird carving.
And there is also one other important ingredient, 91-year-old Douglas Gibson.
You have to give the bird personality. Never a head straight forward and always turn the head a little and make it look like he's ready to talk to you.
Competition is not just solely an American one. It attracts entries from around the world, from as far away as Japan to as close as Canada. And that Canadian tradition was well represented this weekend as one bumped into a number of entrants. Indeed, there seemed to be a bit of a competition between Ontario and Quebec. Dave Weatherby is from Ontario and has been carving for the last 25 years, and he sees the tradition growing.
Around Ontario itself, there's quite a bit going on. So I go off different places, Belleville, Kitchener, and things like that for courses. I'd give this a 10, and I'd say up around there it's at an 8. The Kitchener show is excellent, and there's shows down east, there's shows out west.
Meanwhile, there's 45-year-old Robert Gauthier, who was involved in creating carving organizations in Quebec and New Brunswick back in the 1980s. An enthusiastic booster of the art, he says many students learn quickly.
You should see them go. Some of them there, within a month there, four times they come during the month, they have one piece that's already finished. And then they go on and go on every year, you know. And when they get on a bird, well, we do a duck like in a full weekend.
But at the convention, some felt there had been a decline in interest in the art of wildfowl carving. Shannon Deming from Elkton, Maryland, sits beside an alcove of carved birds.
I have a piece with 5 blue-winged teal on it, 1 in flight, 2 standing, 1 preening, and an immature. It's a walnut.
Dimmick has been carving for the last 17 and a half years, and she has a contingent of students who have entered the competition, and she was very confident of their chances. However, she finds interest has gone down.
And we don't have many young people coming in. We have a lot of old people dying off. So, you know, we're just trying to keep this tradition alive and drag any kid we can in off the street that's playing with his Nintendo or whatever to come in and carve a bird.
Indeed, there was a lot of gray hair to be seen at the convention center. Lori Bottinelli, the Ward Museum's executive director, says there was a surge in the wildlife carving a couple of decades ago.
The height of wildfowl carving, when the competitors tripled what we have today, was in the mid to late 80s, which is during the time when the Ward Museum was built on Shoemaker Pond. I mean, there was this huge crest of enthusiasm. It's very fair to say that there's sort of been a plateau in participation. There was a drop and then a plateau. And we're strong. We have a strong base.
So reaching out to new people, especially the young, is important. Some participants suggest that the decline in interest by young people has been a result of a drop in hunting, while others point to the competition from the 21st century's world of computers and social media. Bottinelli says the museum has targeted young people through an initiative at the museum. But there's also another development, she says, that may play a key role in getting more people interested in carving, nature photography.
Nature photography is really based on the experience and the culture of a 21st century group of artists. And they're connecting to nature, they're inspiring others to the beauty of nature.
Meanwhile, Bottinelli says there has been a clear development of new techniques and even new forms of wildfowl art that have sprung up, which she believes should secure the survival of this Eastern Shore tradition. This is Don Rush for Delmarva Public Radio.